Good morning. Well, I hate to stop you, but it is time. So thanks for spending the time together and going over his word. Today we're going to see more of the race of faith, the marathon that we all run. But before I begin, I want to introduce myself. Julia, thank you for praying for me. My name is Rosalie Johansson, and I'm a member here at CPC and of our Women's Bible Study, and I lead a table in the evening. And wow, it's cool to see how many of you are here. I know several of you, but many of you I haven't met yet, but I'm so glad to be here. I'm a full-time special ed teacher. I teach in Belmont, little first and second grade LD kids at a special ed private school. And I'm married to my husband, Alan, who's an elder here at church. And we've been married almost 32 years. Amazing. In November. And, oh, gosh, I'm getting really emotional. We have three grown children. Lauren will be 27 a week from today. I can hardly believe that. And her brother, Michael, is 24. And the two of them live with us in San Carlos. They have graduated from college and are, you know, navigating life as a 20-something. And our youngest, CJ, has a new job in Oakland, and she's living in Berkeley this year. So I just wanted you to know a little bit about me. So let's pray, because I need the Lord's strength. Oh, Father, what a joy it is to be in your presence. Would you calm my heart, Lord, and allow me to share what you want? Thank you so much for Paul and Timothy and Mark Mitchell and Julia and Kim and Pat Portman and all the people who have been encouragers to us, personal trainers for us that have equipped us to run this race. Lord, we praise you for your word, for the strength that comes from it, from just the joy that we get in being part of one another's lives and seeing what you do. Thank you, Father. Pray that you would bless this time and help us to grow in the ways that you want us to. Exercise our muscles, Lord. And we ask in your precious name. Amen. Well, we began our study of 1 Thessalonians with a race, didn't we? And then Julia has been sharing with us about the personal trainers that are there in the scripture for us. And we're going to see today how the race of faith really is like a marathon. I had the privilege of reading about a marathon this summer that a gal from our Bible study ran, and I want to share a little bit about her experience. She never liked running. I can relate to that. She said she even hated it in high school. But her sweet husband was just relentless in his pursuit of her to join the group and run this race. The race was for a good cause, and she had lost a few close friends to cancer over the years, and so she finally agreed to attempt the training. She found that the team and training coaches inspired her each week as they ran, and they were amazing coaches during the marathon itself. But when at mile 16, her husband had a physical issue, they needed to separate. So he convinced her to go ahead and run without him because he needed to run at a slower pace. Right when she couldn't run anymore, her coaches came right alongside her and encouraged her. They were right there when she needed them. When she talked to them and shared her concern about her husband and about his issue, the team and training coach promised her that they would go back and find him. And they did. And they encouraged him when he needed it the most. Well, Timothy, in this passage, is a team and training coach for the Thessalonians. Paul sent him to check in with them. And then Timothy came back and shared with Paul how they were doing, just like the coaches did for our friend in this marathon. Well, this third chapter of Thessalonians is a loving personal letter. It's a you've got mail letter. The word you and your is used 25 times in this little chapter. He uses the phrases stand it no longer twice and other tender phrases like pleasant memories of us, long to see you, for now we really live, and all the joy we have, just to show us how much he really cared for them. Paul to a T. He's tender, he's a teddy bear, and he showed a lot of TLC to these dear friends. Well, in this letter, Paul also used the words Jesus and Christ, or Lord, 5 times, the word God 5 times, and faith 5 times. This year in our Bible study, we're going to look at 5 different letters. And looking at this year, the whole emphasis is faith. It's used 44 times in the 5 books that we're going to look at. But in this little chapter, it's used 5 times. 5 out of 44, that's pretty significant. It's an important letter to these brothers and sisters in Christ and about their faith in God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul really wanted to go and visit the Thessalonians. He loved them so dearly, but he couldn't. Paul wore his love on his sleeve for them, and he spoke about how much he wanted to go and visit them. Well, let's think about some options that he might have had if Paul lived in our day. Could have phoned them, could have sent an email, could have texted them, or maybe Skype, right? And Timothy, being the hip younger brother and therefore more tech savvy, he probably would have said, yeah, why don't you Skype them? Because you can't really get there, but then you could talk to them and see them. Well, I want you to take a look at this video of Grandpa's first time using Skype. Not my grandpa. But maybe Paul would have felt like this and had a similar feeling. Be sure to notice the joy on Grandpa's face when he finally realizes that it really is his grandson.
He ain't got long.
And he can talk to him.
I've never seen anything like this.
No, it looks good.
Yeah.
The first thing.
Yeah.
It looks
technology.
Nice.
He's so amazed right now.
Your father's taking your picture, right?
Oh, okay, okay.
I've never seen this.
Grandpa,
he's
yeah.
talking to you.
Oh, my God, the noise.
This is my office.
He's done
the
pieces
for office at school.
Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful.
See, so tell him Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I never see anything alike. I'm not going to talk to
your dog. Yeah, sit down. Sit down and talk to him.
Well, just talk to him.
Huh?
He's in shock.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
Do you like the computer?
What is he now?
He's in Connecticut. He's in school.
Connecticut, he looks like he's here.
Yeah. He is here. He's in the computer.
And make a nice
this is the first time I see this.
For your loving.
Huh? Very good.
You just finished dinner.
Louis.
Yeah, Grandpa.
You're looking good. God bless.
You're looking good.
You're making me very happy.
Oh, isn't that sweet? I love how Grandpa gets so excited because he realizes, oh, it really is Noe, you know? And he's just so excited. So, I've lost my place. Here we go. It's just so sweet when you really see someone you love. You really want to be with them. You want to be with them and talk to them face to face. Well, Skype really is wonderful. Those of you that have done it, you know how it is. But our eldest daughter, Lauren, lived in Europe last year for an entire year. And so I can really understand what Paul was feeling. I really missed her. I really longed to see her. So when she asked us, if we would Skype every Sunday morning with her before we went off to church, it was like the perfect time for her to be back from whatever she was doing Sunday night. And we got to Skype with her. We were all over that. We said, absolutely. You know, I mean, Alan got up early, you know, to Skype on Sunday morning with her. And we were able to talk with her face to face, able to hear her voice, hear her laughter. It was just so cool. And with the internet today, we could see her photos as we read her blog. And it was just wonderful to check up, not check up, but to catch up with her. I wanted to do that too, but that wouldn't be reality, right? She's going to share what she wants to share. But She was doing well in the Czech Republic, and it was really cool for us to be able to see that. But it wasn't the same as really being there with her. So when our youngest, CJ, went to go visit her last winter and came back with a good report about Lauren, we were thrilled. We were like, this is so cool. She is doing well. She's happy. She's adjusting. You know, life was going well. But nothing compared to when we got to go this last summer and really see her. We went and visited with her and got to see her face to face. We came back knowing without a doubt she was doing well. Whereas Paul knew that the Thessalonians were not doing well, they were suffering. They were doing well in their faith, we find out later, but he didn't know how they were doing. He knew they were being persecuted. Well, take those feelings of having a loved one far away from you, and you know they're really struggling. Ratchet that up a million times. Put it in the spiritual realm that they're really suffering in their faith. And that's today's passage. Paul's intensely concerned about the Thessalonians. He had to leave them before he wanted to. Remember, he was forced to leave them when they were only 3-week-old baby Christians. They were his spiritual children. He was concerned about their faith. He knew the difficulties that they were facing. The crowds had forced him and Silas out, and he feared they would be coming after these new baby Christians also. He wanted them to have the confidence in their God. He wanted them to be sure that they really knew who they believed in and to not be persuaded by all of the loud voices in the crowd or the false teachers. We're going to see in this chapter, in this very personal letter, that when we really love someone, we care intensely about their faith and we'll do anything and pray fervently to strengthen their faith. So let's look at the 3 divisions that we have. The first one is checking in on their faith, verses 1 through 5. Confirmed report about their faith, verses 6 through 9. And then our last one, continually praying for their faith to finish off the chapter, 10 through 13. Well, let's dive into the first section and see what Paul has to share with us. Let's look at verse 1 about how Paul was checking in on their faith. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. Well, the chapter opens up right away with Paul saying, I can't stand it anymore. You know that feeling, right? You've reached the end of your rope. Paul couldn't not check in on them. He loved them so much. The word left in verse 1 is used to describe how you'd feel if you left someone at death, if you knew you would never see them again. To Paul, it felt like a death to be left in Athens when Timothy went off to see them. Well, we learned in lessons 1 and 2 how he had to originally leave Thessalonica because of all that uproar in the town and how he had gone to Berea. But the angry Thessalonians followed him to Berea. So he left there and went on to Athens. Well, in Athens, he continued to preach the good news of Christ. But it was painful for him to be left behind when Timothy went to see the Thessalonians. When you look back at chapter 2, verse 18, remember it says that Satan prevented him from leaving Athens? Paul had worked so hard with these believers, and he just couldn't stand to let them be alone when he was unsure about how they were running the race. He was their teacher. He was their personal trainer in this marathon of faith. Well, verse 2 tells us what he did. Take a look at it. We sent Timothy, who was our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. Paul knew Timothy could be the personal trainer that they needed. He knew Timothy would be the team and training coach that that our friend had, like in the marathon. He knew Timothy would encourage these young Christians and could strengthen their faith in the Lord. He knew Timothy could be trusted to deliver just what those young believers needed. This is a great demonstration about Paul of how to run the race of faith in Jesus regardless of circumstances and to allow the Lord to be Lord and not fight for what we want. He really wanted to go, but he couldn't. So he lovingly sent Timothy to those dear brothers and sisters because he cared so much about their faith. Well, the next verses tell us why he sent Timothy. Verse 3, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials, for you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. Well, Paul loved them so much that it pained him to think of his last memory of them. The angry mob had drugged Jason and others out of his house. Remember that? Paul and Silas had escaped the mob, but these new believers had to endure those people in Thessalonica. And he feared, it says in verse 5, that they would waver in their faith because of these trials. If Paul was forced to leave Thessalonica, then you know those same people that were after him would be after those believers too. We know as believers in Christ that Satan stalks us, it says, like a roaring lion waiting for us. And often he uses flesh and blood to do so. He could use the pagans that were there in Thessalonica. He could use the scary Jews that stirred up that mob. And he could use false teachers to confuse the church. Followers of Christ need to be strong in their faith. We need to have confidence in what we believe and be aware that Satan lies in wait for us. In order to resist the tempter, in order to resist the devil, we need to be grounded firmly in our faith and train for the marathon ahead of us. Well, the word encourage in verse 2 means by the side of. So just like that team and training coach came alongside our friend in the marathon, mature believers, fellow runners in our race of faith can come alongside us when we're a little wobbly and can encourage us to run the race with confidence in our Lord. But gals, none of us are ever there, are we? We never arrive at that place in faith. In our marathon of faith, we don't have all the faith that we need. None of us reach perfection this side of heaven. We all have room to grow. We all need encouragement and help in our race of faith. But new believers, those weaker in the faith, they need even more support, just like infants and toddlers need more than we do as adults. And those that are being tried and persecuted, they need even more support. We all need team and training coaches, little Timothys and Pauls to encourage us in this race. And you know what's great too? You and I can also be a Timothy, a team and training coach for someone else too. So we find ourselves with truth number one. Nothing should pull at my heartstrings more than checking in on the status or condition of someone's faith. When you really love someone, you want to check in on their faith. Well, friends, real love cares more about someone's faith than their physical condition or what job they're going to take. Paul wanted to make sure that they weren't wavering in their faith. He wanted to make sure they were encouraged and were able to run the race with strength and confidence in the Lord. I know how Paul felt. I have felt that concern, haven't you? The more I grow in my faith, the more I realize everything else pales in comparison to the faith of a loved one. Honestly, I remember how important it was to me that my kids have a good school experience, how concerned I was what high school they'd attend and about their choice of college. And to this day, their career choices are important to me. But more than all of that, I'm concerned about their faith. When life gets tough, and it will, when disappointments come, and they will, what will happen to their faith? Will it be strong? Will it be grounded in truth? If they can remain faithful to God and our Lord Jesus through it all, then I'm going to be thrilled. My parents are aging. Their health is declining. But more than my concern about how close they are to the doctor, and I'm very concerned about that, More than that, I'm concerned about their spiritual health. Will they be able to weather the storms of life as they arise in the months to come? When life turns sour, or when they lose their health altogether, what will be their strength? Will they stand firm? For the people in your life, the people you love, what is something you could do to spur on their faith? Could you pay them a visit? Could you write them a letter? Or maybe send them a good website or a Christian book? What can you do, and what can you not do? We've seen here in this passage that sometimes we are not allowed to go personally. But sending someone else's words, like a book or a teaching that you've loved, is like sending someone else, like sending Timothy to them, a team and training coach. Sending words that someone else can say may be just what they need to be encouraged in this race. But I need to caution you. It's so important that you pray and check in with our Lord first to see, does he really want you to go? Does he want you to send something to them? A friend of mine recently had an experience where she heard about a loved one who was just broken and devastated because her husband of many years had come to her and said he wanted a divorce. And this friend was just dying to get over to that house and grab him and say, "What are you doing? What's wrong with you?" Because they knew the Lord. But she knew that wasn't the right thing to do. It wouldn't be appropriate. It wasn't going to help. And then she wasn't also sure, would this loved one really want to talk? Was she open to, you know, discussing it and praying together? So she said, "Okay, God, I got to pray and see what you want." And the Lord said, "Write her a note and tell her you're praying for her. And say, I'm here if you need me." Sometimes we're allowed to go. Sometimes we're allowed to speak. But sometimes the Lord closes the door and we just have to wait. But we can always pray. So ask the Lord. He'll guide you. We'll pull out your Bible again and let's follow along in verse 6. Confirmed report about their faith. "But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you." Isn't that the best? I love that. He brought not only good news about their faith, but that they send their love and they miss him too. Paul and Silas must have felt so good about that. I loved it when Lauren, our oldest, when we went to go visit her, before we left, she had put on her Facebook page that she was so excited to see her mama. Almost 27, and she was still excited to see me. That really warmed my heart. And there it was on Facebook. I bet Paul felt the same way, too. It warmed his heart. Well, let's look at verse 7 and 8. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord." Timothy returns to Athens with the good news of the Thessalonians' faith. It was settled, not wavering. It was firm. That word distress in 7 means to compress. To press tightly. You know that feeling too, right? The vice grip. You are being squeezed. But Paul says, even though he was in a vice grip, even though life was pressing in on him tightly, that he was encouraged because they were growing strong in their faith. The Thessalonians are running strong, and this encourages Paul greatly. I love how he describes it in verse 8. "Now we can really live." I'm sure many of you know that feeling too. Because nothing else matters if your loved one is doing well and running strong, even though the race is hard and rough. Did you happen to notice the play on words in these first 8 verses? Paul says in that very first part, "I can't stand it," right? Then he hears Timothy's report that they are standing firm. So then he says, now I can stand it. He can be away from them even when times are hard. I can't stand it. Now you are standing. I can stand it. I love that. Well, this next story comes from our son Michael. He gave me permission to share this with you. Mike became a believer when he was a little kid. And Alan and I had the joy of praying with him as a little boy. But Mike struggled greatly with the pull of the world, like we see in this passage, through his adolescent and teen years. He was tempted, as is described here. And he began to dabble in drugs and alcohol as a teenager. And he struggled through high school and college. Yet he knew the sweetness of the Lord. He had a relationship with Christ, but he did not grow in his faith. And he chose to party rather than live for the truth. But because of strong men in the faith, Rob McAvoy in particular, and his involvement in Young Life, and great team and training coaches there, Mike was encouraged in his faith. The summer before his senior year in high school, Mike decided, while at a youth retreat with John Gilbert, who at that time was his youth pastor here, Mike decided it was best for him to leave this area, get away from the friends he was hanging with, and go off to a Christian university. Now, all of our kids had gone to public school their entire lives. Even our first one went to a public university. But we were so in favor of Mike leaving and going off to a faith-based college, no matter how much it cost. But this wasn't a cure-all for him. But it allowed him to have more strong men in his life, some great personal trainers, which led him to face the sin and addiction in his life, and it deepened his commitment to Christ and a determination to be the man of God, the man that God had intended him to be. Watching this change in Mike's life has been exhilarating. Seeing him run new laps of surrender to the Lord and seek help to live a victorious life has been the best news we have ever received as parents. Today, Mike is a high school youth leader here at CPC, and he's open and honest with the kids and the leadership about his struggles with addiction. He's making an impact in lives for Christ today. But the battle's not over. Mike has recently struggled, and he allowed me to share that with you. And he's learning more and more about the unlimited grace of our Father and the need to continually have strong men of faith in his life. Team and training coaches that run right alongside him in his life, and to be in a community of next two brothers and sisters. He and you and I cannot go it alone. We need the transforming power of his word, and we need the Spirit's work in our lives, but we also need fellow runners, team and training folks. Well, let's look at verse 9. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all of the joy that we have in the presence of our God because of you? Watching others grow in their faith, watching them make choices that please our God is exhilarating. And you know what? We get to do that with one another all year long, right here. Some of you have nieces and nephews, coworkers, friends, aunts and uncles, and parents who are growing in their faith. Is there anything better than watching that? What great news that you get to share with one another right here. Well, verse 9 says that Paul and Silas are so grateful to God, and they thank him often for the Thessalonians' faith, and that it brings them great joy in God's presence. They don't remember the cost. They don't remember that hard race that came before and during and after they were in Thessalonica. Rather, hearing the Thessalonians are running solid and firm in this race of faith. It's like a spiritual booster shot, a spiritual adrenaline for Paul to keep running his own race. Thanksgiving and joy is overflowing in them to God, who really gets all the credit for such a great report. We see another truth here, don't we? Truth number two, there is no greater joy than knowing someone I love is standing firm in the faith. There is no greater joy than knowing someone I love is standing firm in the faith. It's the best news, isn't it, when we find out our loved one is doing well, running the race that he set before them with a one-track mind. So I have a question for you. Who are the people that you are still waiting to hear a good news report about? A good news report about their faith, not their circumstances, but their faith. I want you to jot down one or two names and hang on to it today. In our third division, Paul, our trainer, will model what we're to do. In this third section, continually praying about their faith, Paul tells us how he prays, what he prays, and why he prays. So let's look at verses 10 through 13. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. So how did Paul pray for these beloved babes in Christ? Earnestly, night and day. Earnestly means super abundantly. It's an excessive amount of prayer. This is Paul to a T also. He's a throne room guy. Warren Wiersbe says, true prayer is hard work. Paul also tells us what he prayed for. He prayed that he could supply what is lacking in their faith. He prayed that God would clear the way for him to go and see them. He prayed that their love would increase for one another. And he prayed that God would strengthen their hearts. And Paul tells us why he prayed that for them. So they'd be holy and blameless when Christ returns. This is what we can do. Continually pray for our loved one's faith. Remember the point of this chapter. The focus here is to supply what is lacking in our faith. We saw in the first two divisions this, but we also know that no one, right, arrives in their faith. No one's perfect in their faith. We all have room to grow. The word supply is translated in some of your versions as perfect, meaning adjust or equip or furnish. Paul knew that these friends would be in need of encouragement and growth. He knew they needed more equipping, more furnishing, or maybe some adjustments to grow in their faith, to run this marathon. Paul also knew that it is God who ultimately strengthens them. It's the Lord Jesus who will shore up their faith and furnish them with what they need. Paul may have prayed this prayer more for himself than for the Thessalonians. This might have been a reminder for him as he was praying to God, because he knew that God was the one who was going to complete the work, not Paul. Paul was not going to be the rescuer of these dear friends, and neither are we. That's why in our WVS vision, we state that it's God who works in us. Even though some of us have that fix-it gene like I do, right? We're going to allow God to work in one another's lives and not try to rescue or fix each other's problems. God is the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. Yet, God chose and called Paul to be their personal trainer, their coach. In verse 12, he prays that their love would not only increase, but that it would overflow. The Bible tells us that people will know we're Christians by our love, right? Our coworkers, our neighbors, our family, they'll know something's different about us when our love is overflowing for people. When we're so loving and it's overflowing and spilling out, those around us are going to say, wow, what's different about her? It isn't natural, right? It's supernatural to love like that because our God is love. When we imitate Jesus, when we love like he does, people notice. A godly character trait is to love like our Lord. Sacrificial, unselfish, and overflowing, regardless of our circumstances, and while you're running a marathon race. I love this last verse, 13. It's such a sweet prayer from Paul. He asked the Lord to strengthen their hearts. The Greek word here is cardia, where we get cardiologist. We sure need a good heart, don't we? To run a marathon of faith. And we need a supernatural cardiologist who's going to strengthen us for this race. Paul is asking the Lord to strengthen them spiritually, to give them the faith that they need. Having faith means to have confidence. And he tells us why here. So they can be holy. Holy means sacred or devoted, wholly committed to something. And Paul prays this so they'll be without fault when Jesus returns. Scripture teaches us that believers are not going to be judged. We're not going to be sent to hell if we're not good enough, because his blood has already covered all of our sins, right? He paid that price. But we will be judged according to what we did with what he entrusted to us, what we did for the kingdom and for his name. Paul prayed earnestly for the Thessalonians' faith, which is what we need to do. Truth number 3. Earnestly wanting God to supply what is lacking in my loved one's faith should be at the heart of my prayers. When I earnestly love someone, I'm earnestly praying for them. When you really love someone, their faith is what really matters. The other things will pale in comparison. Earnest prayer is what your friends need, what your loved ones need. We know that the Lord is the perfecter of our faith. He will strengthen their faith, but we get to pray that he will do that. It's so great to be part of someone's life, and it's so sweet when God chooses to use us, but God himself is enough. He doesn't need us. If he chooses to open the door for us to go and speak or to act, then he will do what is necessary to complete the work. But he gives us the powerful and effective divine weapon of prayer. When Julia taught a couple weeks ago in chapter 1, she said he pins every bit of our faith, every bit of our journey. Isn't that a reassuring fact? But gals, sometimes we're the ink that he uses, the team in training. Well, let's brainstorm some ways that you can begin to pray for those on your list. You can use a prayer journal. You can pray verses each week from your WBS passage. They can be part of your prayer request right here at Bible study. You can find a prayer partner. Remember when Julia talked about how she is on the phone once a week with a friend? Sometimes you can text a prayer to a friend. You can walk with someone. I have some friends who walk once a week, and all they do is give their prayer requests, and then they walk and pray the entire time. You can write down a 3x5 card and put it on your mirror, or a sticky note in your car, or a virtual sticky note on your desktop or your iPhone. We can be creative, can't we? We can confidently pray that whatever needs to be done for our loved ones who know the Lord, that the Lord will do what is necessary to grow their faith. We can pray it and God will do it. It is in His will that we grow in our faith. Well, my prayer journal is filled with names of family and coworkers and loved ones, and some of you right here. I like to write out my prayers. It helps me focus because I wander without that. And I want to tell you about my niece, Jenny, and her siblings. They've been on my list ever since they were born, and they're in their 20s. Well, her family doesn't live near us, and they did not attend church at all when she was little, and it broke my heart. So I regularly prayed, God, send somebody so they'll know about you. Send Christians their way so they can hear about Jesus. And I prayed and I prayed. So I wasn't surprised when she was in high school and I found out that she'd begin going to church with her brother because her brother liked a girl that was going to the youth group. Well, the rest is history, or as some people say, his story, right? Jenny met the Lord in that youth group and went on to serve him mightily throughout high school and college. And now she's a missionary in Asia with her sweet husband of 4 years. So when Jenny and her husband, Brian, came to visit us a couple of years ago, he asked me about the connection I have with her because he didn't know me from Adam, right? We're not even in the same state. And I had the pleasure of saying, you know what? I've been praying for her since she was a little baby and for her brother and sister who have yet to make a commitment to the Lord. And I've been praying that God would send somebody to them, and he did. It has been such a joy to see her run this race, to watch her grow in her faith, and see how God is using her in her family and in Asia. So, can I ask you, what consumes most of your prayers? For those you love, what really matters to you? Is it their athletic ability? Is it that they gain some amazing degree from a certain college or a specific school? Or that they have success in their infertility treatments? Those are fine things to pray for. But is he nudging you to take it up a notch in your prayer life? Are you pleading in the throne room for those that you love? Our son Mike regularly reminds me when I say something about, you know, let's pray for so-and-so because they're really struggling. And he says, Mom, why don't we pray that God will use that in their lives to strengthen their faith? Mike has told me more than once, I can actually say thank you, God, for my struggles with addiction because they pushed me to the Lord. If I really love someone, I will invest a lot in prayer for their faith, for a strengthening of their resolve to finish strong, to run the race in a manner pleasing to our God. Remember those two names that you jotted down? Will you commit just this week, 1 week, that you will hold them up in prayer? That you'll pray every day for them, maybe the first thing before you even get out of bed, and ask the Lord to ground them, to strengthen their faith, to send someone along if you can't go or speak with them. Love them earnestly by laboring in prayer just for 1 week. It's easy to start small, right? Make an attainable goal. And let's see where God leads you. Maybe this will be the start of something incredible for your prayer life and for their growth in the Lord. It's so sweet. The Lord has given us His Word. We are so blessed to have Bibles galore. We have His Word at our fingertips, on our iPhones, on our computers, everywhere. Technology today allows us to share His Word even more easily with our loved ones, our co-workers, our friends in the Lord. Well, the Lord has shown us here in this passage, when we love someone dearly, we'll care more about their faith than anything else. We can share the truth of Scripture we get each Wednesday and Sunday with our closest friends and relatives. We've also seen in this passage that joy comes from knowing that someone you care about is standing firm in the Lord. Will you take the time to share those stories with one another? Give thanks to God for what he's done. Spur us all on with those great stories. Offer up praises to him during your prayer time. Bask in the glory that only he deserves. Well, let me close with an update on the marathon. With about a mile and a half to go, our friend didn't think she could make it at all, but was able to because another team and training coach came alongside her and gave her the confidence to finish the race. She writes, "With prayer, God's words, and true and very sincere supporters surrounding us, giving us a whole bunch of encouragement, we were able to do so much more than we ever thought we could. Pushing ourselves beyond our ability with lots of prayer, we realized this is what we needed in life. Running our first marathon taught us how to run the marathon in life. In real life, we need to encourage other Christians and need to be around Christian encouragers as well. So we spur each other on in our prayers and commitments to Christ. We want to be able to say, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. So whether you have an injury or not, remember, put one foot in front of the other and run towards the finish line and know that Christians are waiting to encourage you. And most importantly, God is with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being the author, the perfecter of our faith. Thank you for using Paul and Timothy and all of the great team and training coaches that you have given us in our life. But more than those people, we want to say Hosanna to you. Because when we're in your presence, we are strengthened. All of our fears fall away when you are alongside us. We praise you, Father, for your word. We love you, Jesus. Amen.